I met him, we were freshmen at AU, and he was getting up a band together down in the basement of the dorm. And he was a singer and a harmonica player, and he liked to wear black leather clothing, and I was a guitar player. So we got a band together. We started rehearsing down in the basement. Now, his name was something, his original name was something like Dorio Notello Hockmangelo, or something. So you know, so you can understand why, as soon as he went off to college from whatever little town he grew up in, he told everyone his name was Dorian Hockmoon. And since he was really thin and he wore black leather clothing, and this was the early 70s, he was cool. And you know, he told everyone his name was Dorian Hockmoon, and so the band was called Hockmoon. And we played fraternity mixers and horrible little clubs around Boston and Austin. And we started to get bigger and bigger and bigger. But I, too, was the first person in my family to go to college. And I had gone to BU because they had a really good finance department and some really big names were professors there. And I thought that would be a lot better than going to the upstate normal school back home in New Hampshire and just, you know, becoming a teacher. So they kept saying, you know, Timmy, you should practice more. You know, we're getting big. We're gonna be big someday. You should practice. And I thought, yeah, I should practice the guitar, but I should also...
You're fine.
Okay, I should also study and pass some of these tests. So, you know, we'd play, and then I would go back to the dorm and study. The other guys would party. And then there was the one day, that famous day when they said, you know, Timmy, it's not working out. You're an okay guitarist, but you're not a really good guitarist, and you're never going to be a great guitarist. And we've got this other guy from Austin, and he's going to be taking over. We're sorry, but we're going places. And I was out of the band. And I mean, you know, Hockmoon. I mean, it's not that they were big. They were big, and then they were quiet, and they were big, and they were quiet. And they're still so frigging big. And people look at me, if I ever told people a story, like, I was actually in Hockmoon, they say, yeah, right. Yeah, right. And then, you know, we have pictures from back then of me and Dorian and the other guys. But there's another more famous picture, because I was a finance guy. And after I graduated, and the band was kind of big and they were on the road, they needed someone to pull things together. So they brought me back in. I managed the concessions. I started just the t-shirt sales and handling the gate. And after a while, I was managing the band. And when you have a bunch of drunken, drug-rattled guys doing really weird stuff, like there's that famous story about Led Zeppelin, the motel room in Seattle that looks out over the water, and you fish, you know, you get fishing poles. And the manager comes in and he finds all of Led Zeppelin collapsed on a bed, and he goes in the bathroom, and it's like Fibber McGee's closet, only it's full of mud sharks. I can tell you, stuff like that in rock and roll, stuff like that happens, and it's like the manager of Led Zeppelin, at least it was just Led Zeppelin on the bed, and the animals were in the bathroom. The animals and the group were not all in the same bed. and not passed out, but active. And not in a good way. So, you know, so I knew stuff. And I heard that new guy, that guitarist he got that replaced me. Well, of course, back then everyone was into, you know, oh, it's cool, and the Edge, the Dark Side, and the Edge, and devil worship and stuff, and all that blues crap Robert Johnson about going to the crossroads. So I kept hearing about the crossroads. He knew stuff. He knew a guy who knew a guy, and we went to the crossroads, and we met the guy. And they had a picture to prove it. A Polaroid. They had a Polaroid to prove that they had gone to the crossroads and met the guy. And I kept hearing these stories and bits and pieces and parts I wasn't supposed to know about it. but I got the details. And I can tell you, there's a warehouse at the old naval station in South Weymouth that's now been developed in the industrial park. There is one hell of a Polaroid locked in that warehouse. And that Polaroid has just been getting bigger and bigger and uglier and bulging and swelling up. Yeah, I know. You think you've heard this story, but it's a formula. There's a reason, because there's a formula. And I can tell you the other thing. I have a key to that warehouse. I saw that Polaroid with my own eyes. It's an ugly sight. And I went on, you know, after a while I got tired of managing the band, I went on to stuff. I'm a successful financier. I have Ben Bernanke and Tim Geithner's phone numbers on speed dial. And when I call them, they return my calls. In the finance world, I am a rock star. So it doesn't gripe me. It doesn't gripe me that I'm not part of that band, because I'm part of a bigger band. And the groupies in my circle are a lot more intelligent and have more interesting things to talk about. And they can afford the plastic surgery much better than the rock groupies. So we're not, you know, I'm not losing out. But there's one other part of this. There's one other part of this. Because these guys have been in and out, and now it's like they had a charm. Like people used to make fun of, what's his name? Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones gonna be out there with his walker. Nobody made fun of these guys because they just kept going. But now they're falling off the stages. They've got sore throats. They've got broken arms. The picture in the paper, and now Dorian Hockmoon, he looks like an old woman. He looks like an old woman. And the thing is, that Polaroid is not in good shape. It needs special treatment, what Polaroid called the special sauce, to keep it in shape. And the thing is that one of my duties, one of the things I was involved in, was the liquidation of Polaroid. And you know how Polaroid Corporation kind of went under, they said, oh, everything's fine, you know, hang on to your stock, and then suddenly poof. I don't want to name names, but the guy who shows up at the crossroads, if you know the right thing, he was an investor in Polaroid. That's one of the reasons why the end was so ugly. And I found a lot of files. I got a lot of stuff. And in my house, there's a special locked room that has all of the special sauce. The last of the special sauce that Polaroid ever made. And I don't want to surprise you, but not just that group, where the Polaroid's kind of bulging and cracking and getting a little thing, and the group is starting to not look so good. There's some other people. Dick Clark, Barbara Walters, Brother Blue. People that just keep going on and on and on. You wonder how they do it, and you sort of take it for granted. They've got those Polaroids too somewhere. And I've got the special sauce. Who's the rock star now?